Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
ready for divine healing tonight, because tonight is divine healing, and I want you to reach out to be to reach out for divine healing tonight. Many of you have came to the show for divine healing tonight, so tonight is divine healing. I want to thank those that prayed this young man has passed on the football field. But if you name the whole America, and I'm glad to see him back, but I want to talk about the power of prayer. That prayer circle is awesome. I'm praying that the political prisoners come out of jail. We're still praying for Larry Hoover and Jeff Ford, who are political prisoners. Dr. Christian is going to take over the prison ministry and getting ready for the women's convention. And as she, whatever she's going to do, we're going to do women's convention. And I want to tell you, we got to dig deeper into our prayer and begin to pray much for each other. There's so much going on. You know, the little boy shot a school teacher. They didn't say nothing about the parents. They're talking about the boy. How is a kid 9 years old or 6 years old got a gun? And nobody mentioned the parents. The parents is the fault of that. And that's the serious part. And nobody said nothing about the parents. And the parents born is directly the cause of that. Look, a kid getting a gun, coming to school, in grammar school, anybody said nothing? We got to get up, step up, and stay up. That's one thing we do. And we stay up and get up and stay up. This thing will be all right, because that's what we got to do.
Hey, all you voters out there.
We have to get up and stay up and stay involved in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing, that we have to do that. Tonight, it's divine healing. Do you know prayer heals? I think you called me. I've been busy all day praying for people. I had an office full this morning over at the Hilton. When I left the Hilton, I went over to Joe Nails and 20 people there. I didn't see all of them, but people want prayer, and people want breakthrough, quick, fast, and in a hurry. So that's what they want, and we have to make it work. I want to tell you, this is the seventh day of this year. I want to thank you, Sister Mary, and those that called and those that came over. I prayed for this morning. Young lady lost her sister down in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm praying for her. Praying for the young man that lost his brother in Dallas. They was over. They didn't know why, so we had to pray for them. So I want you to stand up for prayer tonight. Stand up for your rights with God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. What I want to say to you tonight, going into 2023, I want you to plant a seed for what you want. I don't know what you want. But whatever you want, you begin to tell God. If you got a need, you plant a seed. And if you plant a seed, you're going to reap a harvest. On Mondays, Martin Luther King Movement. Tuesday, Crossover with Ancestors. Wednesday, Bible class. Then Divine Word and Divine Teaching and Preaching Bible on Friday. On Saturday night, it's Divine Healing. I want you to stand up. You got a people stood up and prayed. When the football, we don't want you to kneel. But God made everybody kneel and pray. And the boy come back alive. Yeah, he was dead. thing will tell you that he had died. But prayer changed things. I want you to continue. That was the first miracle in 2023, Mary. That was the first miracle. And everybody, black, white, brown, could see this man had fell dead. And when they began to kneel and pray and cry, God reached out and brought him back. He's going to be all right. But it's just a warning for me and you to know that God is no shorter than his word. And I want to tell you tonight, wherever you're going through, God is a healer. Get up, stand up for your rights. You get up, stand up for your rights, and tonight, this is the seventh day of 2023. I'm talking about divine healing, about drop your attitude, drop your pride, and let God in. Ask, what can you do? Say, God, what is my assignment? Some of you don't want to accept it. With all that's going on all over the world, God is still in control. Break every curse, every bound. Dr. Kristen called me earlier, and she's going to be over the prison ministry. And young ladies and young men, when they come out, we're going to try to help them not to go back to jail where they can be able to help somebody else. I just feel that 2023 is going to be miracles on top of miracles, blessings on top of blessings. And I want to tell you tonight, God got what you want. All is well. And I want to say that we'll be on tomorrow from 11 to 12, Sunday morning with the bishop. And I want to talk healing tonight. I want to talk about open blind eyes, cataract, tumors, high blood, low blood, prostate cancer, bone cancer. I cancel all that out for the word of God. Maybe you might not be strong enough to cancel it out, but I said loose and let go. Sister Denise, God bless you. And I want to tell you, you and Smitty, you're doing a good job. Tell Smitty, I said, hang on in there. All is well. And I'm praying much for you, Brother Joe. You're doing a good job. Lisa, y'all doing a good job. Sometimes God puts you in certain places to do certain things. And I want you to get ready for God to open up that door that's been closed. I decree tonight your health will be healed. I decree tonight your mind will be healed. See, body, mind, soul, and spirit, people work all kind of witchcraft. They work on your mind, they work on your body, and then they make you have accidents and kill you. I told one lady, I said, don't let nobody have your car. She let her nephew have the car. It told. Disobedience to God's word will get you in hell quick. But you obey the prophet of God. And I told you about the flood back to back, the tornado back to back. It's happening now. It's on paper. They called me, said, Bishop, you already said this. Like Mary said, Bishop, you already said about the floods and the storm. As I did, see somebody listening. And I'm going to tell you tonight, all is well. Get ready for a divine breakthrough. And I want to decree your healing tonight. receive healing and deliverance to you. I don't care what you're into. God said high and God looked low. If you into evil, you got to pay. If you into jealous hate, you got to pay. If you into murder, you got to pay. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life. I'm going to tell you tonight. When I got to the Hilton this morning, it was lined up. People want to know the word. Now, if you want to know your prophecy, give me a call. I'll set your appointment up. We can do it by Zoom, or we can do it over. A couple of people had lost their houses in California. And I told them, move the rest of it out because it's coming back. Oh, the weatherman, I was going to listen to the weatherman. Listen to what God says. It's coming back. Now, as I speak, it's already come back to California. It's already. And I told, then I said back to Florida, we're going to have some more hurricanes coming over the ocean. We're going to have some more. And I told somebody said, you know, we have a volcano in Hawaii. It's all right. So now they're having another one. Florida, they're going to have some more tornadoes. Tornadoes throughout Mississippi, Alabama. It's coming again. Flood coming. It's repeat. Let me say repeat. God trying to get your attention. The ancestors trying to tell you it's a better way. And if you don't pray, and a good example, the football boy fell, had a heart attack right there, and fell dead, graveyard dead. But when everybody gathered around and called on God, of Abraham, God of Jacob, called on the divine God, thing was broke. God opened the door. And I want to tell you tonight, God will do the same thing for you. This whole country got a wake-up call. Through that young man, it let you know. You know, they didn't allow you to pray, to pray and kneel in the football field. But this evening, when they got the plan, they kneel and pray, and they're going to continue. Kneel and pray. See, the worst thing they did, Pearl, when they took prayer after school, here's a kid with a gun shoot a teacher. And you know, by saying about his mama, what is these parents doing? What is the mamas and dads doing with these kids running wild, breaking in, shooting people? But God is in control. And I'm praying for you and you tonight. And I want you to know every letter, every telephone call is a blessing. The spirit of Mama and the spirit of Fast May. May, I'm praying for your family tonight. Mama Annie, I'm praying that you ask Pee Wee, I'm praying. Hey, one day I'm going to take time out and call all the people that's in the spirit realm that you know, I know, and resurrect them to the power of God. Get ready, get ready, get ready.
There is power in I'm living this moment. and praise you. A sinner like me, to save the world, salvation is free. There were times when I just didn't do right.
Facing incredible obstacles in your life, I want you to lean on God and trust His flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do it.
I have no doubt my God can do the impossible.
There's nothing impossible for God.
I know He can.
I've seen Him do it.
I've seen Him do it.
He can turn the mess you're in to an awesome miracle. Yes, He can.
I know He can.
I've seen Him do it. So whatever problem you've got, just let it go and give it to God.
He'll work it out.
Do I know what God can do?
I've seen Him do it. I've seen Him do it.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
I've lived long enough to see God do phenomenal things. Oh, yes, I have. I've seen God give people supernatural strength. when they didn't know how they were going to make it. I've seen them use the most unlikely people to do incredible things. So I wrote this verse for those of you that are less than perfect. Listen.
When your life has gone astray, you preserve and cover you with His grace. That's how God works.
That's how God works.
I've seen Him do it.
And this is what I like about God.
Then He'll erase your past.
If you repent,
so people can
erase your past.
What a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, say, how do you saying, I love I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Tonight is the night to claim your deliverance. Tonight is the night for you to repent where God can do some things for you. We're going into 2023. And I want you to know that God is able to lift you up. There's no sovereign that the heaven cannot heal. Sister Duke, I'm praying for you who lost your mother. And I'm praying for every letter, every telephone call. If you got a need, plan a scheme, get ready for God to bless you. Because I want you to know, divine healing comes from God. And I want you to receive what God got for you. In all thy ways, acknowledge God. He will direct your path. In the midst of dry places, in the midst of dry bones, in the midst of people turn their back on you, God will lift you up. Doctor might give you bad news, but I give you good news, all is well.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy from these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen, and her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, when he told them about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course, He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one field, ever moving, and above that was another field, that was the Babylonian field. It was moving. And that above that was another field, which was God's universal field, and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were with God.
Say that with me, please.
So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people, and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood. A valley of slavery and oppression. A valley of sorrow. So that often we have to say, one of these days, I'm going to eat at the feast and table. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low.
I wish I had somebody here praying with me.
So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us, and considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent to him. of God. A prophet inspired of God. For a prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looked beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountains. Social and political mountains. Religious mountains. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. He said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind. A spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley. And sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem. And Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a star-doing service. In a star-doing analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there. Then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he'd miss something. Then the Lord led him round and about the valley. Or took him and encompassed the valley. Circled it on all sides. That he might not mix the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was far and complete, the Lord called the question to him. Son of man, son of man, I wish you could hear him. Can these bones live? That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation. Reminiscent of man's finiteness. Man's humanity. Son of man. Son of man, you are a scholar. You are an educator. Son of man, you are a scientist. Can these bones? Son of man, you are an engineer. Can these bones live? universally. Son of man, you are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in various stages of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies. No, with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you found pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Son of man, you found highways upon the sea. And you've made your own highways under the sea. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Spirit of life. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know men are mean. We know men are prejudiced. We know that men are narrow-minded. And we know they are selfish. We know men are unkind, ruthless, and cruel. We know men are murderers and sinful. But what we don't know is what to do about it. Well, we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the case. But what we can't do is write a prescription.
I wish I had somebody here praying with me.
So that the prophet had to say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. When it comes to the answer of many of life's perplexing problems, when it comes to a solution to these problems, Lord, thou knowest. I submit myself before you, limited, finite, ignorant, and helpless, like dry bones in a valley. And thou knowest. Thou hast the answer. And you know that one thing about God. When we go to Him sincerely, when we've been overwhelmed by some problem that we aren't able to grapple with, put it at His feet. Ultimately, if we have faith, He'll give us the answer. He'll work it out for us. And Ezekiel declared that he didn't know. And it was in the hands of God to give the answer. Why, the Lord, after Ezekiel had surveyed and had gotten a full understanding of what the Babylonian problem was, he said to him, you go out if you want the answer and preach to those dry bones. Well, Lord, it looks like a helpless thing. It looks like an unprofitable.